Chapter 17 Molly Crane stopped Jesse Stone in his tracks. She nodded at his pebbled glass office door.
Salter and his lawyer are waiting for you inside. I figured it was just easier all around if they waited in there.
How long?
5-10 minutes tops, she said.
Thanks for the heads up. What do you think?
The father is calm. A cold fish, that one. The lawyer is cute.
Jesse smiled at Molly.
What are you smiling at?
You're a married woman with a house full of children, he said.
Married, not dead.
But he's a lawyer.
There's that strike against him, I'll admit, Molly said. Didn't stop you from being with Abby.
Old news. She shook her head.
Men.
He looked at the Seth Thomas wall clock behind her. It's been a long day. Go home. I need you to pick up the Penworths at Logan in the morning. Molly was a pro, but she got a sad look on her face. You want me to be with them when they identify the... He put his hand on Molly's shoulder.
No, I'll meet you there. That's my job.
Okay, Jesse. What should I tell them?
As little as possible.
Tell them that I'll fill them in. She took a few steps, stopped, turned around. Her expression now a mixture of anger and pain.
I've got girls at home. I don't like young girls murdered in my hometown, Jesse.
I don't like it in anybody's town, but we're not solving it tonight. See you in the morning at the ME's. She opened her mouth to say something and thought better of it. Molly turned and walked away. Jesse called after her, and she about-faced.
What is it, Jesse?
It may not be my hometown, but it's my home. Remember that. When Jesse walked into his office, he didn't need a scorecard to distinguish Salter from his lawyer. Salter was a tall, gaunt man. He was clean-shaven and rather plain-faced, with a head full of wispy silver hair, to which not much attention had lately been paid. He wore a deceptively expensive navy blue suit. Unremarkable, but it fit him like a second skin. All of his accessories, the light blue silk tie and matching pocket square, the custom-made white shirt with French cuffs, the gold cufflinks, the black English-made wing-tip shoes, were just so. Understated, but of superb quality. He smelled of too sweet Clubman aftershave and cherry pipe tobacco. And though he smelled like someone's dear old grandfather, there was something menacing about him. Maybe it was his piercing gray eyes or high forehead. Maybe it was the way he held his unlit pipe like a switchblade. Or maybe it was simply that he carried himself as if he was always the most important man in the room, no matter the room or the other men in it. The lawyer was something else altogether. While not exactly out of central casting, he was close. 40, maybe a little younger, athletic, handsome, with black hair and perfect white teeth, he was all the things Harlan Salter IV wasn't, and probably all the things his client despised. From the light gray Armani suit to the fat Rolex to the tan, he was a flashy SOB. Jesse knew the type from L.A. Probably drove a cherry red BMW 635 and played tennis with his dentist's wife. While the lawyer didn't think he was the most important man in the room, he thought he was the smartest.
Gentlemen, Jesse said, retreating behind his desk but keeping his feet, I'm Chief Stone.
The lawyer stepped forward, right hand extended. I'm Monty Bernstein, and this is my client, Harlan Salter IV. That's my card on your desk there.
Jesse shook the lawyer's hand. Nice, firm handshake.
Salter didn't seem interested in handshaking, so Jesse sat down. Bernstein sat opposite Jesse. Salter wasn't in the mood for sitting, either. He just stared out the window. Jesse looked at Bernstein's card, waited for the lawyer to speak again. He didn't have long to wait.
Chief Stone, my client is well aware of the tragic circumstances surrounding the death of Martina Penworth.
Jesse said, Is he?
Yes.
Then perhaps he can save us all a lot of trouble.
Bernstein was skeptical. And how can Mr. Salter do that?
By telling me where his son Ben is.
Chief Stone,
Jesse. The lawyer cocked his head.
What?
That's my name, Jesse, he said. Makes it easier than starting all your sentences with Chief Stone.
His information on Stone was spot on, Monty Bernstein thought. The chief was no idiot. You'd have to be careful with this cop. Jesse, I can assure you that my client has no idea of the whereabouts of his son. It is precisely out of concern for Ben's safety that Mr. Salter has come here to offer his full cooperation to your department. We are particularly concerned that Ben not be considered a suspect, and that you are careful not to endanger his life if you should locate him. Jesse ignored that last part, waved the lawyer's card between his fingers. If Mr. Salter is so interested in cooperating, why did he feel the need to bring a criminal defense attorney with him? Jesse didn't let the lawyer answer and spoke directly to Harlan Salter. Is that correct, sir? You've come to offer your help? Please direct your questions to me, Chief Stone, Bernstein said, emphasizing Chief Stone. Jesse could tell that Harlan Salter was losing patience. Salter's mouth was clenched, and there was a tightening of the muscles around his jaw. The veins in his neck were emerging. That all suited Jesse just fine. He thought with just one more little push, he could get the investigation started in earnest. So he pushed. Look behind you, Mr. Bernstein.
What?
Read what it says on the glass there, Jesse said.
What?
Let me help you. It says, Chief, this is my office, in my station, in my town.
I don't know what you're playing at, Chief Stone, but I...
Enough! Harlan Salter had been sufficiently pushed. Enough! My son is missing, Chief Stone, and I want him back safely. As Mr. Bernstein has stated, I fear your department may consider my son a suspect in that poor girl's murder, and that you or your subordinates might shoot first and ask questions later. If my answering your questions will assist you in apprehending the man actually responsible for this heinous act, I will answer them to the best of my ability. But first, if you'll indulge me, you must answer a question for me. He pointed the stem of his pipe at Jesse.
Ask your question.
Is my son Ben a suspect in the homicide of Martina Penworth?
The truth?
Always, sir.
Yes, your son is a suspect, Jesse said.
Thank you for that. But I detect some hesitancy on your part, Chief.
Do you?
Salter pressed. I do. I wonder why that is.
I answered your question, Mr. Salter, and you've promised to cooperate.
Harlan Salter IV was a man who didn't like being told what to do. Ask your questions, Chief Stone. 25 minutes later, Harlan Salter IV and Monty Bernstein walked out of Jesse Stone's office. Jesse accompanied them. Luther Suitcase Simpson watched the procession from the front desk. To his eye, none of them looked pleased. He guessed that made sense. When the station door closed behind Salter and the lawyer, Jesse stopped to talk to Simpson. Simpson was a big man with a round face who would always look years younger than he actually was.
You play basketball, Suit?
You know, football was my game, Jesse. Why?
You ever hear of the Four Corners offense?
Only Four Corners I know about is that Indian reservation where Utah, Arizona, Colorado, and New Mexico meet. I guess it doesn't have anything to do with that.
No, Suit, it doesn't. The old University of North Carolina basketball coach, Dean Smith.
I heard of him.
Jesse smiled. In a time before college basketball had a shot clock, Coach Smith devised the Four Corners offense. It was a way for his team to waste time and run out the clock when they had a lead. It was boring, but effective.
Sorry, Jesse, but is there something I'm missing here?
Funny thing, Suit. That's what I keep asking myself. Feels to me like those two are just playing out the clock.
Huh?
Never mind. The father says the kid doesn't know how to shoot. Never even owned a BB rifle. Check it out.
Jesse Stone walked back into his office and closed the door. He still didn't like Ben Salter as a suspect. What he couldn't get a grip on was the father's priorities. If the kid hadn't killed the girl, and he hadn't run, he'd probably been abducted. But all the father seemed concerned about was that a cop not shoot his son. Jesse got that Harlan Salter was about as warm and fuzzy as a metal casket, but according to Ethan Farley, the Salter's handyman, Harlan loved Ben to a fault. He was the good son, the one who was doted on. It just didn't feel right, not any of it. Jesse knew better than most that there wasn't anything about the murder of an 18-year-old girl that was right, or would ever be right.